Hello and welcome to the Fort Brock's Crypto Podcast.
Fort Brock's
Neil Alonzo with my co-host Brandon Don Heath.
Brandon Don Heath, yeah. You can say it like a normal person if you want.
For some reason, I get tongue-tied whenever I say Brandon. I want to say Brandon Don because I know one of your email addresses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want to say Brandon Don Heath. And
yeah.
I think it's correct, right? Brandon Don?
Brandon Don.
All right. So today...
Yes.
Today's a special day, and you want to know why? It's because we're talking about Ravencoin, and I know
I love Ravencoin.
You bleed Ravencoin right now.
Caw-caw!
You know, I'm seeing that little,
yeah,
like the Justin Bieber heart.
Yeah.
And so, but before we dive into Ravencoin, because remember, this is in a series of tokens that we're providing a layman's way of explaining everything we can about the coin in its current state. And again, we're learning as others are learning, and we want to share that experience. And that leads perfectly to our disclosures, which is we're not wealth managers, financial advisors, CPAs, lawyers, brokers. You know, we want to make sure the SEC and FINRA are happy with what we're doing here.
Yeah.
But we are in crypto mining. But again, we do not construe anything that we're telling you as investment advice.
No.
We're just sharing our opinion, our experiences, our points of view. Yeah, that's good.
I think that's a good disclosure.
Yeah.
I think you did it.
So, kicking off.
Welcome to the Ravencoin episode.
You are so fired up.
RVN.
You are so...
Caw-caw.
So, what is Ravencoin? First, let's talk about the founders. The founders, and I know you're super hyped, Bruce Fenton, Tron Black, and Joel Waite. That white paper was published by those gentlemen. Now, I know you're a fan of Tron Black's and you follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And you've actually had some dialogue with them because of one of the NFTs we were creating for a movie studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Good guy?
Yeah. He's super nice, very responsive.
Uh-huh.
I didn't actually think I would get a response from him because I was learning about IPFS at the time.
Okay.
Interplanetary File System.
Yep.
And he was real quick on the dial. Came back with me later that night because I'm sure he's a busy man, but he's a nice guy.
Dope. You're a nice guy too.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't this make sense? Why would he not communicate with you?
Well, I like Twitter for that fact because people can get to people.
I will say
it's really good at creating connections.
Not in all, I want to say verticals or places.
Probably not all verticals.
Definitely not all verticals.
Like I couldn't talk to Steph Curry right now if I wanted to.
I mean, you will eventually, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying like just randomly drop into his DMs like, what's up, Steph? Can you stop beating the Suns, you know?
So Brandon's an Arizona native.
Yeah.
That he bleeds all things sports. Arizona,
yeah.
Like the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Who, they didn't make it very far in the playoffs this year.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know you don't. But IPFS, just for those who don't know, the Interplanetary File System, it's a protocol for the peer-to-peer network for storing and sharing data, and it's distributed file system.
So yeah.
That's the Wikipedia way of telling you what it is. But yeah, it uses content addressing to uniquely identify each file in a global namespace, connecting all computing devices.
Correct.
It has an MIT license. So this goes back to the heart of being open source.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I believe, like... I don't know when it says that it was first created, but I think it was like late 90s, but then it didn't really...
February 2015.
Okay. Well, I meant like that's when they first started.
I mean,
that's
really late 90s.
Yeah. Yes. The super late 90s, the 2015. I think that's where they started. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. That's okay.
No,
I can be wrong.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
We're fact checking. We want to fact check and be called out.
Yeah.
So please, you know, leave a comment, ask a question. It's supposed to be built on, you know, positive factual stuff. Call us out if you hear bullshit.
Yeah.
Call us out if there needs to be a course correction. We want to deliver good information, valuable information, but we're not trying to say we know everything whatsoever because the space is moving so fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super fast. Little sidebar to that, since we had the little late 90s comment.
Yeah.
My son told me that I was born in the late 1900s.
Yeah, makes sense.
Oh, little bastard, you're old. Just the way it sounds, you know, it's so obvious and true. Yeah. It's factual, but damn it.
Yeah.
born in the late 1900s?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I guess I was too, huh?
Were you? Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Later than you. Yeah.
Well, later than me, yeah. So diving into Ravencoin.
Yeah.
You know, we digress.
Back to it.
Because we love talking so much with one another. So, Brandon.
Yes.
Because you love Ravencoin.
Yes.
Again, you know, we're sharing information, factual information, but sometimes it's hard to contain personal opinions, you know. And
yeah.
So Brandon's joy for this will probably shine through.
Yeah.
So what is Ravencoin?
Well, it's a Bitcoin fork. There's 21 billion of them.
Okay.
Which might seem like a lot, but it's only 1,000 times more than Bitcoin. So, and they did that specifically so that there would be enough usability.
Okay.
And then also the ability for fast connections.
Okay.
And processing times.
Well, to give a point of reference, how many, what's the market cap on Doge?
Oh, I don't know right now. I have to look that up.
Yeah, we should check that out.
Yeah.
But just to give as a point of reference, so what you're saying is 21 billion is
yeah.
the market cap on that. So
that's how many there will ever be in existence. That's so, max supply.
And they just experienced a halving.
Yes.
And so explain to people, what is a halving?
So a halving is actually what happens when it's built into the blockchain. So that every number of blocks that they get to, so they get to certain milestones mm-hmm. of the blocks that they mine. So when you mine a certain number collectively, you get awarded a block. And a block currently has 5,000.
Or it did.
It did.
Before the halving. Now
yeah.
it has 2,500.
Correct. And then so the halving happened. And now you only get 2,500 per block for Ooh. Block rewards. So that will be that number until they hit a certain extra number past that.
Why? What is the rationale behind halving?
The rationale is so that you don't hit the I guess total supply as quick as possible.
What is a fork on the blockchain?
So a fork on the blockchain is when you take that code
mm-hmm.
and you rewrite it for your own specific variables, and then you deploy it. So they deployed the program, and that algorithm is called KowPow
mm-hmm.
in order to mine. And so that's what basically keeps the decentralized nature of the blockchain.
Got it.
So the fork is inserting your own code into that network.
So it creates more flexibility of the particular blockchain, which is the Bitcoin blockchain.
Correct.
Because if it had been Ethereum, they yeah. just would have built a dApp? Or...
Yeah, how well, well, I mean, there's a lot of coins built on the ERC-20
right.
Ethereum blockchain. So they take that code and then they rewrite it to
right.
fit their own, and then they deploy it, basically.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, they consider that a fork.
Why do you think, or did they even state why they chose Bitcoin as opposed to Ethereum at the time? Ethereum was fairly new.
Yeah, at that time.
Like super new.
Well, I mean, it wasn't super, super new.
2014 is when...
Yeah, and this deployed January 3rd, 2018.
Oh, okay.
So that's when they first released it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I could ask him.
That would be interesting. You know,
yeah.
like what was the thought process in putting it on Bitcoin blockchain
yeah.
as opposed to, you know, on
yeah.
Ethereum?
Well, it says here Fenton was a board member and executive director for the Bitcoin Foundation from 2015 to 2018. So that might have had something to do
so
with it.
So he kind of moved in the path of least resistance.
Yeah, he probably knew a lot more about Bitcoin than
blockchain.
He did.
Yeah, fair. I mean, that would definitely, you know.
Yeah.
Influence our decision making if we were to move towards a blockchain if we had more of an intimate
yeah.
knowledge of one over another.
Absolutely. And I do like their wallet system. They have their own desktop wallet.
They do. The
Linux.
Only thing I wish it would do is sync up a little quicker.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, you're talking years and years of blocks. So
oh
yeah, we were talking about that with Tyler, I believe, right? When he got the
yep.
Raven wallet. He's just like, I think
I had to
think it's broken.
You know, I switched cellular carriers, right? And so I had to update my phone.
Yeah.
And that's what's awesome about a lot of these wallets.
Is
you can retrieve a wallet, you know, with your, you know, passcode or your passphrase.
Mm-hmm.
And I was super hyped because I had test run this with some of the other apps. And when I did it with Raven, it had to catch up.
Yeah.
I had to leave my phone on for damn near a whole day.
Yeah.
Just so it could catch up.
I know.
But
the mobile wallet, I think, that is further lacking than the
Desktop app.
Than the desktop. Because the desktop, you can just leave your computer on and it goes.
Well, you definitely leave your computer on for extended periods of time.
Yeah. I'm mining usually.
I know. You don't even know what the phrase clear your cache means, do you?
No, I don't. What is that? What is a cache? Cash money? Is that what you're talking about?
So Ravencoin.
Yeah.
It was a fork on the blockchain as a peer-to-peer network.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way that they describe it is it aims to implement a use case specific blockchain designed to efficiently handle one specific function, the transfer of assets from one party to another. But Ravencoin, and we're not necessarily in the business of comparing other coins because, for instance, I like Solana.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Solana.
Yeah.
But it
you
has...
You and Mike Tyson.
Are we? Yeah. Iron Mike?
You didn't see that article about him?
No.
Oh, yeah. I'll send it to you.
Oh, he's a fan. Well, I'll put it in the show notes now because it would be rude for you just to send it to me and not share it with the listeners.
That's true.
But having said that, Ravencoin does things that Solana does not.
Yeah.
So it has a little bit more breadth as far as what it can do. With asset tokenization and smart contracts, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And the way that I got introduced to the token was through a friend saying that they really were working with asset tokenization and wanted to basically asset tokenize the stock exchange.
Okay.
Like tokenize that. And I was like, well, that's, you know, big pie in the sky dreams.
Right.
I totally understand. Or I was like, I don't totally understand what you're talking about, but I thought, you know, that's an interesting idea. So that's how I was introduced to it. And this is back when I was trading heavily, before I was into mining and then, like full force into mining. So I was just looking at it, watching the price jump up and down, bang off of one penny. And I was like, okay. Let's party with this guy. So I mean, I just found it interesting just from that aspect, but it was the asset tokenization that really got me interested into this token, and which is why I asked Tron Black when I was making that NFT, that NFT series, for help, basically.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make it on the Raven blockchain because it was the cheapest at the time.
Yeah, it definitely is the least expensive. And it even talks about how it was made to kind of continue being that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the coins, I mean, or cons, my apologies. One of the cons that it is, you know, it's in direct competition with other powerful players, right?
Yeah.
Such as Polymath, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of more established, or there's a lot more, our grammar's not always correct on this, just so people know. But there's a lot more
better.
I know, right?
There's a lot more better.
I know, right?
I'm just kidding.
It's tongue-tied all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But there are more powerful players in the space that does what Ravencoin does. And so, you know, currently, there's chatter that, you know, is it really going to succeed? Is the community going to see it? Because it's not on Coinbase. It's under review as of today.
Well, yeah.
Isn't it?
A few days ago. Well, I mean, by the time we released this, a few weeks ago. So.
Oh, okay, that'll work.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's on the other exchanges such as, you know, Binance.
Yeah, it is on Binance. You know,
we're fans of Binance as well. And so that's some of the cons. Is it late to the game? Or is it just, you know, it's just part of the natural evolution of all things crypto right now?
I believe it's partly that. It's also very community-driven coin.
Yep.
Where they don't have a foundation like Ethereum where they held a certain amount for developers. They didn't hold a certain amount for anybody.
Well, they didn't have Peter Thiel either.
True. No, but they had Overstock.com you know, so.
That's right. Patrick Byrne put in, what, $100 million?
I'm not positive on that
money. We can fact check that. Yeah. Okay.
But he did put in a lot of money because apparently his CTO of Overstock.com was one of the developers. So that's Joel White, right? Oh. Waite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you really like about Ravencoin outside of, you know, the costs, you know, the transaction fees being lower?
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that you like about it?
Yeah, it is super easy to send. That's one thing I do like. I do like the price point currently. I love that it was released as a community driven coin. I do like the fact that it's ASIC resistant, especially being a GPU mining facility owner.
Yeah. You know? I mean, in full transparency, that statement is made with a little bit of bias because we do GPU mining.
Yeah.
So yes.
Well, I mean, I feel like it is also one of the easiest ways to get into mining, because everybody's got a computer. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people do, right? So there's a coin that you can find that you can mine with any computer. There's even software that will say, like, with your computer, you should probably run this coin.
Right.
And then I've read a lot of stories in Reddit about certain people are really kind of getting behind Ravencoin because of this fact. There's people in South America, there's people in poorer countries who get their hands on a 580.
Because you have to have at least 4 gigs of VRAM, right?
Correct.
Right.
And that's not really hard to do. You just need something from,
I mean, we have
early cards. 2009 all the way up.
I was going to say, yeah. We're still mining just kind of to see how it works with a card that's, what, 7, 8 years old?
Yeah, the 1080 Ti.
Yeah. So, yeah. And it still does.
12 years old
now? Is it 12 years?
I don't know, but it's pretty old.
So just a fact check piece, the comment made about Patrick Byrne, it says that he dumped, these are the words that we pulled up, dumped 13% stake in the company he founded to buy cryptocurrency. So he basically took 13% of his shares at the time to buy $90 million worth of Ravencoin.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty big bet.
Thanks, Pat.
Yeah, right? I mean, mind you, this was done September 19th or around that time frame of 2019.
Wow.
So he got in early.
Yeah, definitely early.
And that's one of the things that with card partners and a lot of what we're talking about with each one of the coins, questions that we're answering and topics regarding the coin specifically are from the feedback we receive from our card partners.
Yeah.
And one of the things we've had with, you know, some of our card partners is the mindset shift behind the fiat value of a cryptocurrency.
Correct.
Versus the spread, the ratio of which it can, you know, increase in value.
Yeah.
Because everybody's Bitcoin hungry,
yeah.
You know, with good reason to be. And obviously Ethereum has a substantial amount of interest because it too demonstrates the ability to go north of Bitcoin as well.
Yeah.
But if you jump from 60,000 to 120,000, you just doubled, which is awesome. But yeah, if you jump from, let's say, 10 cents to 40 cents, that's a bigger jump, but it doesn't look as sexy.
Yeah, but you also, I mean, you're also putting more stress on whatever network. So you kind of want more of a gradual climb than that, I believe.
Oh,
well, if you look at something like Ethereum, one of the reasons why it's bursting at the seams is because of the price.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's the cost, right? It's the cost of entry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people that are adopting cryptocurrency currently, in my opinion, they're creatives, which is why NFTs are seeing what they're seeing, is because creative people, I feel like, are more willing to go out on a limb,
yeah,
roll the dice, and they're willing to try shit out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
And because of it, you're seeing all these things, and everybody's there to judge and point the finger and say, oh, this isn't real art, or, you know, this isn't, there's no real value in it. But here's the thing, you know, is there really value in the dollar? I mean, there's a lot of debate about that, and that's not what we're here to get into. But
no,
the idea of new technology being adopted is being adopted primarily by more open-minded, risk-taking, because it is highly volatile, right?
Correct.
People who want to explore what could possibly be, you know, be damned if the consequences, you lose a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, you know, with any type of cryptocurrency, including Ravencoin, you know, backing something early and being part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's immense. It's huge. And it's required to see if it has legs. And with Ethereum, it allows people to almost be a part of Bitcoin without having to pay Bitcoin.
Yeah, without it has having to buy those. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a lot of money put out for one coin.
Absolutely. And, you know, you get, the longer you do this, you also get a little bit of price denial entry. It's a mental roadblock for, like, now that I see that Ravencoin's 8 cents at the time of talking, I bought most of mine when it was at 1 cent and 4 cents.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen it get as high as 28 cents.
Yep. We were there.
But to go back to reasons why I like it.
Yep.
Because I've read stories in the Reddit about people that get their hands on these 480s, these 4 gigabyte throwaway cards. Right. And, they get paid more in mining every single day,
right,
than they would going out and working somewhere. So they're just stacking these miners up, like getting their hands on, you know, yeah, all these GPUs. And I just think that's commendable. I don't know. Because I just really like that fact about it. And then, and it's also ASIC resistant, which means that you'll always be able to mine with a GPU.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, because there was a time when you could mine with a GPU for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That time is gone.
Way gone.
Unless, you know, you hit the lottery.
Yeah.
We've seen a few lottery hits as of late.
Yeah.
There's been some crazy stories going around.
Yeah, know? For sure.
But...
And, so, you know, you just see that with, like, any coin that gets a lot of adoption. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what I think Ravencoin has the potential of doing. I think one of the reasons it hasn't reached that yet is because of such a soft launch, because they didn't keep money back for development. They didn't keep coins back to help with marketing their coin. You know, so you don't have a lot of people out there on your Reddit stream, on your Twitter feed, shilling you this coin like you do with Doge Bonk and all these other Sheeb Bonks and
coins, I get it. You know? Yeah, it doesn't have the same hype machine behind it.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a good thing for a developmental and strategic growth, rather than just like a, hey, look at me, we're the new Doge, you know?
No, I completely get it. Yeah. Again, you know, we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
We like utility.
Absolutely.
Ravencoin does provide utility.
Yeah.
There's a utilitarian nature of the technology behind it, the open source platform that it's created. And because it is a fork on the Bitcoin blockchain, you're able to create that utility on the Bitcoin blockchain stack.
Correct.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a pro, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, it's not as bloated of a network as others are.
So what makes, I guess you'd say, more about Ravencoin unique? Is it kind of just all these things we've been talking about in terms of being a fork on the Bitcoin blockchain?
Yeah.
The way that it's not...
I mean...
The transaction fees, the speed at which you're able to process?
Yeah, I like to just... look at what people are using as actual real life use cases.
Mm-hmm.
There was talk before before all the NFT craze of the late 2021s.
Okay.
Way before that. Yeah. Way before that, about there's a farm, a winemaking farm that was tokenizing their wine as it went out.
Okay.
So like tokenizing each bottle, basically making each bottle an NFT in batches so that you could, you know.
Was it a hype thing, or was it a gimmick, or was there actual some utility behind it, or some functionary with the value proposition to create an NFT out of wine bottles?
I think they were trying it out.
Just seeing what it would do.
Yeah, seeing like the potential, like what it can do. And then you have got the blockchain realtor going on right now.
We did see that. Yeah, I like the fact they're applying it towards real estate.
Yeah, so what somebody is doing is they tokenized a home,
right?
So you can buy a piece of that home on the Raven blockchain and hold on to that token. And then if the price of the home goes up, if they ever sell it, then you get that in
fractional shares of that home.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that was definitely one of the driving motivating factors behind getting behind it when you first approached me with it.
Yeah.
Was because at that time we were looking at ways, you know, creative ways of how, because we also, you know, with another partner I have a manufactured home business and mobile home parks.
Yeah.
Not the sexiest to the most who might be listening, but when Berkshire Hathaway, Blackstone Group, and other big companies are involved, the ROI is there. We started from an ROI standpoint, but we definitely, there was a feel good and a real problem we were solving because we deal in 55 plus communities.
Yeah.
For fixed income people. But I digress on that side of things because
I like those communities.
I do too, man.
They usually have a pool.
Yes, they have a pool. Yeah. And a clubhouse.
And a shuffleboard.
They do have shuffleboard, bocce ball.
Ooh.
But having said that, manufactured homes and mobile home parks are treated like a car, like personal property.
Yeah.
And we wanted to tokenize them, or we actually wanted to figure out a way to streamline the process because mobile homes and mobile home parks still in California deal with carbon paper.
Yeah.
As far as how you funnel all the paperwork for registering and, you know, giving it to the property taxes to the county. I mean, it's super archaic.
Yeah.
So we were trying to think of ways that we could, you know, streamline that process because we have a tech background. I have a passion for implementing tech in these types of ways. And so when we were talking about it and you started talking about asset tokenization and we did a deep dive on it, Ravencoin was a very good option for tokenizing an asset of such as a home.
Yeah.
And given that these are treated like personal property, like a car, they're the path of resistance was lower.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously we have to get buy-in from, you know, the state of California with HCD. That's the governing body for these mobile homes and mobile home parks. But that was one of the biggest reasons why I was super excited about it, because then it made me think about normal real estate
sticker. Saw the possibilities.
Oh my gosh.
Saw it. Yeah.
It just opened up our eyes to all these things. Now, mind you, Solana can do asset tokenization.
Yeah.
You can do an NFT with it. It's not to say that Ravencoin's the only one.
No.
But they do have...
Through their wallet, they made it super easy.
It's definitely a lot easier to implement.
Yeah.
The fees on it are a lot lower.
Way lower. And well, Solano's not bad.
No.
But... Well, I mean, I think that they just had a mini hack or something a couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah. Something for that nature. I mean, not to say that Raven hasn't had a hack. Somebody,
or that they might not. Yeah.
Somebody got into it through that same, like 2013, 2015 hack, somewhere in there.
Oh, gotcha.
They utilized that same backdoor channel.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
They had to use a patch to fork that or to.
Oh, interesting.
Patch that up. Yeah.
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 Okay.
So it's interesting if you look at like the all time price history, you see this massive drop in there because somebody was like, hey, you know this vulnerability that Bitcoin had? Raven's got to have it. And yeah, it's interesting that they didn't.
But a lot of technology is going to see some of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just going to be a process of earning and learning.
I mean, if you want to be realistic about it, in 3 to 5 years, supercomputers are going to be available for personal use. You know what I mean? So as any cryptographic technology going to be infallible at that point, I guess, or unbreakable.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I know what you're getting at.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard it's to predict.
Absolutely. Something to look at as well.
True. You know? But again, Ravencoin is one of those altcoins. You know,
yeah.
We talk about altcoins all the time and chatter on the message boards, Discords, Reddit, definitely. And they got active communities talking about Ravencoin because I feel like it's one of the altcoins that has a lot of buzz, but not, it hasn't hit that, like, that hockey stick moment that other coins have.
It did, and then you had the immediate, you had that April, like, baby crash, which happened with China.
Oh, in 2021?
Yeah, 2021.
That's right.
that it was up to like 28 cents.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it hasn't rebounded from that, but I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, but that's the value of the currency.
Correct. Yeah.
It's not necessarily the adoption of use.
No.
But they haven't had huge adoption of use yet, or there hasn't been a breakout player with it.
Yeah.
Like with Ethereum, with all the dApps that are coming out, it's helping give Ethereum an overall lift.
Correct. Because people are building off of
it. They're building off it. They have a community. I mean, any technology stack that has a community of people building on top of it makes it so powerful. I mean, look at iTunes.
Yeah.
That's how they became the juggernaut they did. Slack introduced ways that you can build, you know, plugins into their system, so it'll inherently make them more valuable the more people that invest in it. Because if you have a business...
Those are APIs?
I mean, it can be done through APIs.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And SDKs, software development kits, application protocol index, for those who may or may not know, for those different meanings. But having said that, anytime you have, let's say a business goes out and gets funded because they have the greatest way to do something in Slack.
Yeah.
If they have a venture capital investing in that and it's building on top of another platform, it's making that platform they're building on that much more powerful.
Yeah.
It really is. So, I mean, Ethereum has that in spades right now. And Bitcoin, that's why Ravencoin had to be a fork. Because it wasn't built to be built within it the way Ethereum was built with their blockchain.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
So those are things that it's interesting to see how people are figuring out ways to navigate, because while the blockchain is meant to be decentralized, more secure, and there's still ways to create some fluidity and flexibility.
Yeah.
By creating a fork.
I mean, absolutely.
Do you think there'll be more forks like Ravencoin coming out on the Bitcoin blockchain?
I'm not sure that it's the right one to do.
Okay.
I mean, I guess you just have to pull your pros and cons of what you're looking for from your coin.
Okay.
I think they chose that one because they like the model of mining and being able to like give mining block rewards and just the tokenomics from that standpoint. Because when they released it, Ethereum wasn't this juggernaut that it is. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Or I guess Mad Titan.
I will say crypto.com.
Yeah.
Holds Raven.
They do.
Yeah.
Great.
They do. So that, I mean, that's a step forward because they're one of the exchanges that have been putting out a lot of marketing dollars to take market share.
Matt Damon.
Because you have in North America especially, you have Coinbase.
Coinbase.
Binance.us.
I call it Coinbizzle.
I mean, Brian Armstrong and team are holding it down.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
They led to the first wave of mass adoption. So
in North America.
In North America.
Because Binance, I mean,
yeah,
they've led a huge adoption.
Absolutely.
But that's why they had to create Binance. Binance.us is because of U.S. regulatory, they had to have a specific exchange.
Apparently, they don't... I was reading on the Harmony One network that they don't even run it. They passed it off to somebody else. So somebody, it's basically like a licensing thing.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't, that's not vetted information. That's just something I read.
Oh, okay. So it's just chatter until proven otherwise.
Yeah. Because they just, there's three coins that you have soft staking with them that they pulled.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, again, do your due diligence on that statement for those listening. I will say, I guess we should do our due diligence on that statement since you made it. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
Regarding Binance, correct?
Yeah, Binance US, just actually it's like a subsidiary or a, like a licensed situation. It's not actual Binance that's running it. Oh,
that might just be their way of coloring within the lines.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
When it comes to regulatory. Okay. That makes sense. Could
be. Yeah.
I mean, we've had to deal with it ourselves being a crypto mining business working in North America.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you color within the lines so that you can even operate?
Yeah.
Like even our tax filings and everything that we have coming up for 2022, we've been very proactive about how we're doing that when it comes to mining.
Yeah.
But getting back to Ravencoin
and all things
Ravencoin, what do you see as some of the potential use cases? I mean, I know we talked a little bit about
blockchain realtor.
Blockchain realtor.
Yeah. There, I mean, there's a couple projects. You can go to RVNFT, so Raven NFT. Mm-hmm. It's a Raven Coin Artist Gallery NFT marketplace. So I think that's like their first foray into an OpenSea situation.
Okay.
You know, but you do have, you know, 3D, you do have video art, and you can go and shop and, you know, collect basically from there. There's also a few others that are popping up, but I don't think that's like their big use case or the bread and butter. I think right now it's the people that are first adopting the asset tokenization. Gotcha. And the ability to do, you know, a DAO. Imagine if your DAO is a house.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Following.
Because it's not actually a decentralized autonomous organization. It's a house. You know, so you just buy into this house.
Yeah.
And then your coin should appreciate based on that. So I think people that are doing these real world use cases, turning their house into like a stock or being able to sub out something.
I'd like to see that done in San Francisco since the value goes up and there's tech, you know, tech centric.
Yeah.
DAO could work with Ravencoin if you were to,
yeah,
let's say instead of buying one house, you're buying 50 of them.
Yeah.
Then you would have a good reason to do a DAO.
I mean, a DAO, yeah. Because then you would put that money to work by going, hey, XYZ is worth.
Yeah. You know. I mean, you can also buy an apartment complex using a DAO.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain amount of governance as it relates to. And again, we don't know this for sure, but if you know anything about real estate investing, a REIT, you know, a real estate investment trust, it allows a group of people to invest, accredited investors.
That's what REIT stands for?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It allows a group of accredited investors, some non-accredited, depending upon how you file with the SEC,
yeah,
to, you know, collect a pool of funds and go out and do whatever your prospectus says. Basically, what is your mission to go out and do with, let's say you get $10 million in funds to go buy X amount of real estate, but what type of real estate? You list it all in your prospectus and
you
go out and buy it. But if you did it through a decentralized autonomous organization, does that lift some of the requirements that the SEC has as it relates to like a real estate investment trust, a REIT?
Probably, because you're just holding onto a token instead.
It is. It changes the economics of everything. And again, the transparency factor, because the SEC stepped in because of, you know, without getting too long-winded about this, about real estate investing, it's, you know, you want to make sure you have accredited investors. And you can have a certain amount of unaccredited investors depending upon, again, you know, the way things are filed.
Same thing with a business.
Same thing with a business. But, you know, you're able to do friends and family in a business without having to have the same constraints of accredited and unaccredited investors.
Yeah.
The question would be, can you do a DAO and it's all friends and family, so to speak? Mm-hmm. Because if it's community driven and there's a governance already implemented as a hard smart contract, like a if this then that type situation. Does that minimize the politics of any business to make decisions? Because the decision's already there. The way that they're governed to be made is already done. It's much more transparent.
So yeah.
It's interesting because there's no accreditation process in buying crypto right now.
No.
Like if I wanted to invest so much into somebody's, you know, investment fund, they're going to put me through a ringer on being an accredited investor, send me a questionnaire and all that. And I'm only going to be able to invest X amount under the laws of the SEC. In this particular case, there's nothing there that says I can't, you know, invest 50 grand right now in crypto.
Yeah.
Nothing there.
No.
And I don't think there should be.
No.
You know, I'm of the opinion that, you know, we should have access to that. People should have access to creating their own wealth, good, bad, or otherwise.
Yeah.
In this particular case. And that's what I'm a fan of.
Or losing it.
Well, I mean,
I think that's why they, you know, like the big thing with Robinhood and other things. Well, I mean, it's just the know your customer laws, yeah. KYC.
KYCs.
And, you know, just that what we have.
But, that's been a debate for a long time, but it's definitely come to the surface again because of all things crypto, because people are chattering about it, you know, as a potential for generational wealth shift.
Yeah.
It's because the adoption of it right now, being from creatives a lot when it comes to the NFT space, a lot of, you know, corporations are not in it. I mean, look at all the big banks. Big banks won't let crypto mining businesses bank with them yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
So because of that adoption rate, it does present the potential for a generational shift of wealth.
Yeah.
And Ravencoin is, you know, it's emblematic of the time, right?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the hype of other coins. And if you wanted to compare that to, you know, current ways of investing outside of things such as assets or real estate, but stock, they didn't have the GameStop, AMC type hype machines behind them.
No.
But if you were, you know, if you had an eye for looking at it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and I think it's the perfect time to get into it, especially if we're talking about utility, if we're talking about use cases and where we can go with it as a technology, why not just get as many as possible right now and then hold on to them?
Well, we like that about the mining is because we're mining whole coins now. You mean, there could come a day where you can't.
Yeah.
Not everything you can mine right now, you can mine whole coins of.
It's just like Bitcoin.
You know? You're only getting fractions of it. If you're running an ROI, you know, return on investment spreadsheet on what it is to mine Ravencoin versus Bitcoin, they're different things. I mean, but it is a moving target. Well,
you can compare it to Ethereum, where you're mining 0.005 per day, whereas right now you're getting about 14 with the same card of Raven.
But the profitability for that day may be in Ethereum's favor.
Oh, absolutely.
But you're acquiring more Raven. So it depends on the long term. We shoot for the long term.
What obviously. You were talking about long going from 10 cents to 40 cents.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a much bigger
jump.
That's
when you get your sexiness.
Yeah. Oh, that's super sexy. From that value. Yeah.
Yeah. You have 14 of them.
But if you were able to stumble across these, and this is why people are, you know, playing the long bets with things that, you know, we get hit up from card partners all the time. Do you think XYZ coin, I don't know if there's a real one, that's just for, you know, just to state it.
There is.
Is this particular coin going to shoot the moon? Should we put something behind it? Or, you know, do you guys think we should? And obviously we're not brokers or investment managers. We just tell people we haven't done that. We don't know that particular coin yet. We'll do our due diligence. And that's where, you know, us sharing our experiences on our social networks. And then obviously on a podcast of a particular coin, because we have Harmony One, we're going to be looking at, we're going to be looking at Toko. We're going to be looking at VeChain. There's a number of ones that we're looking at. But for Ravencoin, the biggest thing that I like about it, like we talked about, was the utility nature of it and what can be built on top of it. And building for it, what is that like? Do you, like, is it also used? Can you use Rust to build on it?
That part I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to look at their GitHub. I could check out their source code or their website. Both of them are on coinmarketcap.com.
Gotcha.
You know, and I don't know about the development, though.
The development, according to GitHub, it looks like there's a substantial there's an SDK in JavaScript.
Okay.
And there's a JavaScript Ravencoin library for Node.js.
Yeah.
So there is a, you know, it's Python, C, JavaScript, TypeScript, and HTML. Those are the top languages for it.
Yeah.
I mean,
should we get a developer on here and ask them some questions?
We definitely should.
Yeah, let's do that.
And so if there's any developers that are listening to this, please send us a comment, you know, shoot us a DM.
Yeah.
You know, we're definitely going to start looking at more developers to talk with in regards to these different coins that we're looking at. Because when you start talking about using tools such as Rust versus Python and JavaScript, JavaScript and Python are, you know, they're big communities of people.
Yeah.
Huge communities of people. I mean, these are very mature languages in which to work within. I'm a big fan of that. I'm also a big fan of, you know, the evolution of language. I mean, I'm a fan of Swift as opposed to what Xcode used to use for building with Apple iOS. That's only because you didn't do it. We did it for a while.
I just to let the listeners know, I just did the over the head comment.
Yeah, so those early days of iOS development were exciting, but they were more challenging. But then as Swift was introduced, we liked it a lot more. I was a fan of it.
See, I'm more of like, if you make me a Squarespace version of that, then I'm down.
Oh, so you like Webflow.
I'm a visual editor.
So you like the no-code movement.
Well, I think it's better for adoption, yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think there will be a no-code platform for building out dApps on Ethereum or building out on RavenCoin?
No, I don't. Maybe in the future, like pretty far into the future.
But what's far now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's accelerated.
It is accelerated.
Like far into the future, you know, in our lifetimes, we went through pagers.
Yeah.
Cell phones as a block. Cell phones as, you know. Remember the Nokia, the Motorola Razr?
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the Palm Pilot, and then you had, you know, obviously Newton was there. You're younger, but then
BlackBerry Pearl. iPhone.
Well, oh, BlackBerry. I still miss my BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I could send a text and an email in the snow in the worst connection area.
Yeah.
The phone sucked, but I could email or text you anywhere, it felt like.
Yeah.
And I could throw it at anywhere, and it would still just work.
Oh, man, they were great.
I mean, I know that their IP has been used for other...
For what?
Oh, their IP for BlackBerry has been used for other technology.
Yeah, they're a security company now.
Well, I mean, they had to pivot.
Yeah.
It wasn't in their consumer products.
Yeah, for sure.
So stuff like that as it relates to RavenCoin.
Yeah.
Is there a life cycle for these that may see them turn obsolete? And how do they stay ahead of that curve?
Yeah, I think they're doing it in a very organic way. Like I said, with they might not have the adoption that other currencies have had.
Right.
But what they do have is a strong community of people that either are users, holders, or developers.
Right.
And, you know, they don't have anything as slick as OpenSea currently.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because, like, there's nobody putting in money to make it as slick as OpenSea yet.
Well, I mean...
Because you don't have the mass adoption. You just have this tight-knit community that's looking at it and going, oh, hey, this is...
Well, OpenSea, in all fairness with Ethereum was already... I'm not sure what price point they were at, but having Ethereum was valuable at the time OpenSea was created. Way more than a buck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're definitely... You know, it's early times for RavenCoin. So if they are able to develop NFT marketplaces while the coin itself is still valued at, you know, 10 cents fiat, 8 cents fiat of USD.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that's kind of cool that it's happening because in contrast to Ethereum, they were worth a lot more when they already had some NFT marketplaces. Same thing with Solana.
Well, it says right here that OpenSea was created in 2017. So in that time frame, it would probably be at their highest high was $300 in 2017.
Really?
Before the first crash.
December 12th of 2017, it was $522 Ethereum.
Oh, okay.
Of course, the day before that was $440. So volatile.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Understood.
Maybe that's why it jumped up so high. People were already hyped on NFTs. I don't know.
I mean, the people who really knew already then.
Yeah.
You know, but again, this illustrates, I think, and it's important to, you know, really emphasize this. It's still early.
Yeah.
It's so early. We're in the first big NFT marketplace because of OpenSea.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you ever read those memes that say, like, would you rather go back to 6 years old and have $0 but have all the knowledge that you have now? Or would you rather just get like, what, $10 or $20 million right now?
In all fairness, I want to say it was about 6-7 years old is when I went from having a silver spoon in my mouth to not having any spoon in my mouth. So that would be pretty accurate.
Okay.
So it'd be good just to have the knowledge. Yeah.
Okay.
So there was a time in my life where my family had money and, you know, unfortunately, the inheritance of it all made him squabble it away. Oh, you know, no. I was just a young lad, but I knew my family's lawyers and was getting presents at seven by the lawyers. It was weird.
That's cool.
Sort of.
Yeah.
But it definitely, you know, we went from riches to rags completely out of our control.
Cool.
It's a story for another time. Yeah. But I will say, yeah, it's early. It's super early and it's exciting. And that's what I try to stress to anybody that we're talking about with crypto with, especially when they say, oh, I feel like I missed the boat. No. You didn't miss the boat.
But yeah, I'm still trying to name that phenomenon that I'm having, especially with a couple of these coins. Because after a certain point, I stopped trading. I was like, I'm just going to hold coins now. Like,
oh,
I got burned a couple times. And so now, even as like, if I save up a little bit of money or see a coin at a certain price point, I'm like, oh, I could jump in now. But the problem is I have this bias because I bought Ravencoin at a penny. I bought Ravencoin at 2 cents.
So you already set your bar. So anytime that you're not hitting that same.
So yeah, now that's 8 cents.
Benchmark.
I'm like, well, I can't get as many if it's at 8 cents. But
that's not
the
case.
So I'm not going to dollar cost average down because that'd be dollar cost averaging up. You know, I'm like.
It's your mindset about it.
Yeah. You know, HBAR, the same thing. It was up at 50 cents. I'm like, why am I going to buy it at 50 cents? I bought it at 4 cents.
Well, if you believe in it.
Yeah, true. But I mean, even.
When it dropped again,
I'm just saying,
I bought.
Like it, there's that whole mentality. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what phenomenon that's called.
I don't either. I will say, without getting too oaky, practicing mindfulness.
Yeah.
And just kind of being present.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that we learn as we go through things. And so that's one of them, I feel like, is you're looking at things through a different lens. And when you start thinking about your mortality, you know, without getting too morbid, I think it helps govern a lot of decisions, being a compass. Mm-hmm. Of how you can think. But I remember what you were talking about with the meme culture and, you know, hodling.
Hodling.
It was just hilarious. So I'm a big fan of meme culture.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, I wonder if there is a phenomenon for when I'm talking, or like a brain disorder for people who won't dollar cost average up.
I'm sure, I mean, again.
Like people that won't buy Apple stock at 180 because they used to buy it at 120. You know what I mean?
I feel like there's a label for anything that a lot of people seem to share a commonality with these days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
I remember when everything was like hashtag whatever porn, like food porn or building porn or real estate porn, because they were just crushing on whatever, you know, topic that they liked.
Yeah.
In this particular case, you know.
Yeah, food porn.
So you're into
I like food.
Ravencoin.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I mean,
yeah, you might be able to hear the difference in the way that I'm talking about this versus Ethereum. So
it's only because of the gas fees.
Mostly
the gas fees as it relates to Ethereum.
Yeah, and if they can get that under control, then I'm totally back on board. Because I love them, but I also hate them at the same time.
You hate the gas fees, but you love the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, make the distinction.
I'm sorry. I mean, it is really cool, like the platform that they were able to create, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
And somebody had to.
Yeah.
It's just, but you can't get everything right the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, just ask Nike.
Yeah.
If you've read the book, Shoe Dog. Great story.
Shoe Dog.
But again, thank you for...
Yeah.
Sharing your time with us as we went through all things Ravencoin currently, you know. If you have any questions, feedback, or thoughts, please, you know, we're open ears. We can take constructive criticism really well.
Yeah.
You know, we have thick skin.
Yeah, fortbrocks.com.
So a few closeouts. We'd like to thank this recording podcast studio is provided by ADU West Coast and Seal Beach. They turn underutilized garage space and backyards into rental housing units. Their website is aduwestcoast.com. So big thanks to them. We appreciate you listening. If you found value in this show, please share with others. You know, who doesn't like to share value with others? We like to create value and hopefully, you know, others share it.